radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? If you like that music, you know exactly what you're about to get into for the next 2 hours. As you know, who says you can't go home again? It's the return of the Knack. Larry Bamanac is back, and two-thirds of the suspects intact. Larry Bamanac.
This feels weird in a great way. Man. What's up, man?
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? As much as we've been through to say that we could do this again, I mean, we do it on a podcast, and then I just got to remind you not to be Vernon Maxwell today and let all kinds of hell break loose.
You know, that is the one thing my wife said to me. She texted me before the show, right before, and she was like, hey, good luck, have fun, make sure you relax, and don't cuss. I was like, really?
Yeah.
That's okay. Fair point.
Like, of the two of us, maybe the entire station since you were here, there was only maybe you and AJ. Who violated FCC more?
I mean, okay. Yeah.
You had a few.
I had a couple. It's funny because everybody would ask that because I would do, you know, comedy the night before and then come in and I'd be cursing on stage for an hour and then I'd get here and I wouldn't say it. And I had a really long run where I never got dumped. And then once it started.
Oh, you couldn't stop it.
It was unavoidable. I couldn't help it. It's good to be back. I tell you what, this feels amazing. And I'm so glad that, of course we miss Nick, but this is.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is fantastic.
Sean, you're just going to be called. You're going to be pseudo Nick today, but we love you all the same.
And, do you have any weird horns like on your head? Do you have any?
We went there early.
Bumps maybe that we don't know about?
Yeah, no.
Is that why you wear the headband?
No. I mean, you would still see the little bumps on the headband, but no.
Okay.
Sean's a big fan of Loverboy and Bon Jovi. So that's why he wears the headband.
Just not the music, just the look.
Yeah, just the look.
Just the look. Yeah, I like that. You got that. You look like you played the tambourine in Rat.
Oh, my God. We're going all over the map. That's what it's going to be for the next 2 days, folks. The suspects are back today and tomorrow. We're going to have some fun during the Paul Gallant Show. Paulie's going to take my spot. They're in Vegas at the Circa, and they're going to be doing that from 3 to 6, so that should be some fun, too. But feel free to join us throughout the show, 713-780-3776. We are on Twitch, twitch.tv. Just search for ESPN 97.5. Hit us up on the text messages, but happy to have Barry back. Sean, always fun to work with you, and we're going to have some fun cutting it up and talking sports and things.
I feel like I never left. You got all the Packer gear on?
I did it for you. I told you that on the way here. I was like, you know what? We'll go all the way back to when the Packers were good, Rodgers was content, and I used to wear this stuff all the time. Now I'd rather throw it in a corner.
I was going to say, you haven't been able to wear it since he left,
no,
have you?
Because I don't, you know, all you need is love, not this guy, because I don't need Jordan love. We'll see how that goes, but I'm not a fan.
No? Tell me, what are the Packers going to do this year? How many wins? What's your...
I hope they're going to be in the sweepstake for Caleb Williams. I think that...
That bad?
No.
Is it going to be a little bit of tanking?
You know what
going
they're going to do? They're going to do just enough right to win about five or six games. But I don't think that he's going to be who they think. But, you know, it's
so down weird. Here. You never know because you've seen people talking about, hey, watch out for the Steelers, right? I mean, look, that kid's playing well, too. And I saw people talking about Jordan Love favorably, that they like what he's shown so far and that a lot of people are sleeping on him. So you never know. Maybe they'll end up with the 10th pick.
I know. There were so many people on national TV that were losing their bleeping minds over Jordan Love making like 10-yard out route throws going, did you see the precision? No, I really didn't. And I don't expect to see it all year, but we'll see. I mean, I don't want to bore people with Packers talk, Bear. But
hey, what? No, you just... We love the Packers on our show. Well, you did.
I did. Yeah, and you just love Green Thumb.
That's accurate too, I suppose.
So the Astros played baseball last night.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it because there was a prime opportunity if you won and everybody told you a million different ways. I heard Creighton on the way home also explaining it, that if they had won, that they would be mathematically in first place in the division, as if that matters when you have so many games yet to be played.
Yeah.
But they had plenty of opportunities last night to win the ball game. But at the end of the day, Kendall Graveman serves up a heater on the inside corner, and it was turned around like his ball cap. And before you knew it, they were down, but not out. Made a late rally, but lost. Your thoughts on what happened last night?
You know what? I keep hearing about how great the Astros bullpen is or has been. And you know, I haven't even looked it up. You know me, I'm a statistics guy. I haven't even looked it up as of late. Like, what's their bullpen ERA? How good is it? How bad is it? I feel like it's probably in the top five, top seven. But it just feels like this bullpen hasn't been as good as we keep being told it is in certain situations. Now, maybe it's because, you know, you have losses like you did last night where it feels like they just caved and cratered at the very end. But I love the fact that they went out and got Graveman. He's had a couple of stinkers. He's been pretty solid for the most part. I don't think it's time that you panic on a guy like that. That doesn't mean that this move was wrong, because look at JV. He didn't actually come back to a great fanfare and you know, a great game early on. That part doesn't bother me as much. So Graveman giving up or losing the game doesn't bother me as much.
I'll tell you what, I
think the pitch selection was poor. We could talk about that.
We can,
sure.
And we can get into that. I think before that, just real quick, my comments that I said leading into the game last night again was after Montero threw up all over himself again, after I had said, look, Dusty is really going to do it. He's a loyalty guy. We know I'm always harping on Pawpaw's belly, and when he gets a gut feeling, he rolls with it, and someone better get him some Tums. He loves Montero. He loves the thought of getting Montero back into that back four of his bullpen. And after he threw up on himself, there was a perfect opportunity for Graveman to kind of seal the deal that he's one up on Montero. He is a better get for you and a better guy to go to late in games. Then this happens, and you look at it and you say, whether it be he was used three out of the last 4 days, he threw 20-plus pitches in all those outings, he just wasn't himself, and now it leaves the door wide open for more Montero, which drives me absolutely insane.
So you're not a fan?
No, and you know when I get on somebody that I don't like, I mean, it's hard for me to get off that bandwagon. But he's given
me
no real...
Are you saying they're overpaying for their 550 ERA?
Yeah, I am.
I don't... Yeah. Well...
And for all those people that want to carry the picket sign outside ESPN 97.5 and protest my protest of Montero by saying he's been great over the last month or so, well, guess what? You don't need him over the last month or so. You need him in the playoffs. You need him to do what he did a year ago when he wasn't overpaid and under-delivering. And so far, I get a sick feeling in my stomach, Pawpaw, every time he comes into a game.
So you're telling me going into the playoffs, you feel like you think everybody else thinks he's going to outperform Graveman. Is that what you're saying?
I feel like Dusty's, if they're even and everything's the same, Dusty's going to take Montero. And even if it's a slight advantage for Graveman, I feel like he's still going to go Montero.
But kind of don't you have to because of how much you paid him?
I disagree. No, I the answer to that is no, simply because money can't dictate the right baseball decision. The right baseball decision is a guy that's been a closer in this league like Graveman, a guy that can come in with multiple pitches that should be able to shut the door, as opposed to a guy that's never been more than a journeyman with the exception of 1 year that he happened to have for you last year, which got him all that money, and he doesn't have a strikeout pitch other than a 95-plus fastball. And people sit on that, and you see the results.
Yeah, yeah, he lacks some movement on it too, and that's the thing is you can throw gas, you can throw a fastball, and that be your primary pitch, but you got to have movement, which is, by the way, also what's been wrong with Javier is he lost some of the movement on his fastball that used to be so devastating. But I don't know. I'm with you. I think I don't disagree with you. I don't think you make that move because of money, but I feel like that the Astros probably feel that way, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it, they're like, well, we're paying him all this money. You got to be one of the four in the rotation at the back end of the bully. I mean,
But then what's the pecking order,
Barry? What are you going to pay Montero all that money just to be mop up and blow out bullpen help?
You know, it's kind of like Abreu, and there's the same way they're bullish on Abreu, but I can't be making decisions based on how much they get every 2 weeks. I got to be making decisions on guys that get the job done. And if I'm putting a guy in a game late in the game in a high leverage situation only because he's getting more money than the other guy, then I'm not doing this the right way.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I think the Astros are a fantastic organization. They've proven that, this, that, and the other. But lately they've made some questionable decisions. And we won't even, you know, you can talk about Montero and the contract. You can talk about Abreu and the deal. I mean, for me, even bringing up John Singleton and giving him Major League ABs was a waste. When you had other kids, you probably could have brought up instead and see what they could contribute at the Major League level. So this is an organization that has pushed all the right buttons for so many years. They're going to get some wrong. I like the moves that they made at the deadline. I don't like the offseason moves they made, but don't you owe them at least the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. I've seen enough of Montero's hiccups this year and his missteps that all this guy has been relegated to do for a majority of the season is just be a guy that mops up innings when you're up four or down four. And then all of a sudden, I kind of indicated this a week or two ago and over the course of the last couple of weeks with the boys, I said, Dusty's going to do it. He's going to keep putting him in a little stickier situation. Every single appearance is going to be a little more high leverage until he can say he's back. And he's not back. And he showed that last outing. But because there's no other with Maton out, with obviously Stanek, a guy that they don't trust, especially even last year in the playoffs when a guy had a 1.something ERA and he couldn't get into a ballgame, the options are slim, and Dusty knows that this is the guy he wants to push in there.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I looked it up. The Astros currently have the 7th best bullpen ERA in baseball. It just does not feel like that. Because I'm just looking at the box score from last night. Martinez is a 5.23 ERA. Graveman's is now a 3.36. I mentioned Montero's 5.50 ERA. I mean, yeah, you've got guys like Abreu and Neris, but you mentioned the fact that Stanek isn't the same guy. It just doesn't. I mean, that's a really good bullpen to have one of the 7 best ERAs in baseball. Not even just the American League, but in baseball. But it just doesn't feel like that because a lot of the guys that you counted on last year, you can't count on this year.
No.
You know?
Well, let us know what you think. We're just getting the program started. If you missed it, Barry's in for the next 2 days. We're going to have some fun, resurrect some of the usual suspect stuff, as well as talk a lot of sports and other things. 713-780-3776. Where are you on your circle of dust in the back end of the bullpen? Is Graveman out? Is Montero in based on what happened last night? And we can talk more about the game as well. He's Sean Mapes behind the glass, Barry Laminek and myself back with more usual. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Psych! Not today and tomorrow. Paulie's in for me with the bees. And I got my boy Barry Laminek back. And who says you can't come home again? Because this is something that we've dreamed about doing for a long time. You know, Jeremy used to team up with Josh Beard. And whenever I'm out, Josh Beard gets to fill in. But it's nothing against those guys, and we're looking forward to the new lineup going forward.
I'm excited about y'all's lineup. It's going to be good.
Should be fun. It's always good to do this.
I wanted this to go well, I'm not going to lie, so I wore my lucky socks today. If you guys know, I'm superstitious. One of my favorite quotes from The Office. I'm not superstitious, but I'm kind of stitious. Such a great line. Such a well-written joke. But I did. I wore my lucky cat socks. My they have Oliver on them. You don't. Oh, I should show the Twitch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have, they have, now, wait a they minute. Have is, my is cat, this, Oliver.
Is that legitimately Oliver's face?
Yeah.
Oliver's the metrosexual cat that you've had forever that always gives you advice on the podcast?
It took one segment. Here we go. Now you're already dogging my cat again. Sean, he said my cat has a lisp, and that's
dogging your cat.
Okay.
You should be a comedian.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Where's my Barry laugh? See what you did there.
Oliver doesn't have a lisp. He, you know, he's a little sensitive as a cat. But these are the good luck socks. So we're gonna see.
If he's metrosexual, this is the slot for you.
Yeah, this is definitely the.
If he wears the Hawaiian shirt, you're in business, Mister.
It is weird. He does walk around with a Hawaiian collar on. It's a whole thing.
I bet it is. That it ain't a thing that should be in here.
He's like meow. No, that's not how he does it. I'm just kidding. That's not.
All right, now, Sean, we don't have the actual audio of this, but Brian McTaggart got a quote from Dusty Baker yesterday. I believe it was pregame during the media scrum because we were talking about the fact that Yainer Diaz, and I've been really adamant about Yainer playing all every day, regardless of righty lefty. So at some, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that quote. But I mentioned that because Roger's on hold, and Roger wants to talk about seemingly one of the hot topics that we've had on the show recently, Dusty Baker. Roger, what's up? What's going on?
Good afternoon, fellas. Barry, man, cue the welcome back Carter thing, man. Nice to hear you, bro.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate you, man.
Just to make it real quick and sweet, the Dusty, he's always been known throughout his illustrious career of not really commanding his pitching staff, just not knowing his personnel. And last year was an aberration, of course, because he had a historic pitching performance all the way through and through. And it's kind of like camouflaged a lot of those decisions that are being talked about this season. And so my thing is going forward, you know, with the lineups and the pitching, I'm not sure if he has enough personnel to survive his decision making. And now with 35 games left, I really think that some of those cities are just gonna kind of like just either get us maybe to a low seed or not even a playoffs at all. And I'll hear y'all's comments over the air, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Roger. Your thoughts on that? I mean, look, I think they got plenty of personnel. I'm not worried about the personnel that they have. I mean, if he's saying that you have concerns about how Dusty's going to use or not use them, I think that's always been the knock on Dusty. He either rides starting pitchers way too much, or he plays favorites with guys that, you know, whether they used to be a superstar or a really good player or not. I mean, I go back to Santana, was it last year, playing first base, and him pitching around him going, that guy's a hell of a hitter. Well, maybe when he was 30, but he's almost 40 now and he's hitting, you know, $2 and change. You shouldn't be intimidated. But that's how Dusty thinks.
I think Dusty had brought an old school mentality to the Astros, which was a concern of mine when they went and got him. It felt like a stopgap, and he proved me wrong. And look no further than last year. I think he's embraced some of the analytics. So I think it might be a bit overreaction or maybe living in the past to assume that he's not going to be able to handle the staff well. He did so last year. I think the problem is it has nothing to do with how he's handling the pitching staff, despite what we talked about last segment, and has nothing to do with even how he's handling the lineup. This isn't as good of a team as it was last year, period. I mean, let's just be real honest. They went out and got JV, thankfully, because if they didn't do that with Fromber faltering and Christian Javier not being what you had hoped he would be, or Keady just coming back from injury, you're not going to know what he's going to be. Hunter Brown's been a blessing, JP France, but would you count on him in the playoffs? This rotation is not the same rotation that they've had for all of these great runs to the ALCS over the past several years. And that's the key in the playoffs to making deep runs and winning. And if you don't have that,
so you don't think you don't think they're as good as they were a year ago?
I don't.
Simply because of the starting pitching?
I think it's everything. They're not as deep. That lineup is not as deep, right? That lineup is not as good.
Right? It could be.
It should be, but it's not.
Now, there's a guy that is close to making his first appearance of the year for the Astros that I will not call by name until I actually see him in an Astros uniform. Until then, he is the sprinkles and the icing on your cake for the year.
But is he going to have enough time? Is he going to have enough time to get the form back?
Or is he going to have discomfort? Because the last time we went through this and he got all of his Sugarland rehabs out of the way, suddenly he got on an airplane and he got discomfort, and then he was a setback, and then he was shut down.
Yeah.
And then here we go again, Jeff Bagwell, wrong. Miss me on the whole, you know, Jeff Bagwell did something right with his offseason because they were waiting on sprinkles and ice cream.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen until it does. And when it does, if he is anything close to the player that he was ever since he put on an Astros uniform, I think it is possible to say they could be as good offensively. Maybe better because Yiner, the emergence of Yiner and Chaz. But pitching is the one reason why I might say you're right, because last year you had an abundance of pitching that mowed people down.
Sure.
We saw that in the playoffs.
Sure.
I don't know what we're going to see in the playoffs this year.
Exactly. And the one thing that I do like that they did at the deadline is the one thing I was complaining about before the deadline is with this rotation as it is, the Astros have always had some guy, middle relief, a Brad Peacock or a Colin McHugh that they could bounce in and out of the bullpen to a spot starter if they needed to, and they didn't have that. So adding Verlander, you get that guy now, whether it's going to be Hunter Brown, whether it's going to be Urquidy, whether it's going to be J.P. France, you don't know. But those are three decent options to fill that role, right? But just in general, when you look at this lineup and you look at performance, and I haven't done it, but if you went back and looked where they were statistically last year, sure, offensively and pitching-wise, and I mean bullpen and rotation, starting rotation, versus now, they're just not as good, man.
Yeah, I mean,
everywhere. They're not as deep. How about that?
Yeah.
They're definitely not as deep as they were when they won the World Series last year.
And a year ago, we were talking about the fact that we thought at the deadline they were going to upgrade. But we found out it was insurance. And mm-hmm. literally, they stuck to what they said, and they only used Mancini and Vasquez as insurance policies when we thought that they might be better options. In one case, I still think Vasquez was, but Maldi did his job defensively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mancini never turned out to be the guy I thought he was going to be. I'll admit that. But I think this year, their insurance policies have been J.P. France, Chaz McCormick, Dubon early in the season. Guys that you were... Maybe you catch one of those guys every so often as a major league team. You caught seven of them in a year when you can keep going up and down the list of guys that have, in short doses or bigger spans of time, filled in and really gone above and beyond. But with that said, that's fine for the regular season. Mm-hmm. But now you need to establish who can do that during the playoffs. My biggest question mark with J.P. France isn't anything he's done to this point. He's never been in a playoff game before.
Exactly.
You know what? Your underwear gets a little tighter, right? Mm-hmm. You know, your margin of error gets a little smaller.
Yeah.
You got to be able to show me bright lights, big stage. You can do the same things you've been doing in the regular season. Do I believe he can do that? Yes. But do I question it? Absolutely.
Well, yeah, until he does it, I mean, it's going to be a question. You're going to have that concern. I mean, one of the examples that I do like that they used as far as J.P. France was look at what Urquidy did when he came in and he was a rookie. He had a very similar season as far as success goes that J.P. France is having. So maybe, and then he had a World Series start that he fared well in, and maybe you get that out of J.P. France. But again, I'm not even the Chaz McCormick's of the world. That's not even what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at that lineup top to bottom and thinking, man, once you get past six, you're like, fingers crossed, you know, we're going to get some good ABs out of these guys. And I don't mean like one through six, because I know Abreu's probably hitting six, even though he shouldn't be. But I'm just saying your six best hitters and then the three other guys. It's just to be a team that outside of Maldonado, 1 through 8 scared you. And I don't think that's the case anymore.
Don't you feel like it was more than, I mean, 7, 8, and 9 was always a question mark with the roster a year ago.
Was it?
I think it was. And I think obviously the emergence of Pena really helped. But I think that when center field, and Dusty didn't trust Chaz anyway, but Jake wasn't the same Jake. And you were wondering who was going to play center field. Mm-hmm. You knew Maldi was just an absolute instant out. It was like a pitcher batting.
Sure.
You're playing in the National League. And I thought that the reason why they did what they did with Abreu and some of the moves that they were making was to try and rectify how the last three spots in the batting order were basically giveaways. So I think that if you do get your full complement healthy at any point now down the stretch, and they can be with you for the playoffs, I think the offensive lineup can be as good as it was a year ago. But I don't think the pitching can, because the injuries alone you can't change.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the guys that you were part of why the pitching was so good a year ago are guys that you, as much as I'm questioning J.P. France, which Urquidy are we going to get?
Which Javier?
Yeah. Which Framber Valdez?
Exactly. That's my point. That's what scares me the most going into the postseason. And it's like the caller said, if they make the postseason, listen, there is no guarantee. And you can get mad at me, Astros fans, all you want. Don't sit there and just assume, because everybody just assumed the Rangers were going to go away and the Astros were going to run away with the division again. This isn't the same playing field as it was last year. The Astros very easily could miss the playoffs because the Mariners are hot, and if the Blue Jays get hot and the Astros continue to struggle and try to find themselves in their rotation, watch out.
How you feeling, Astros fans? This team's better than last year, the same as last year, worse than last year. And how does that affect what Barry just said? Going down the stretch, trying to stay ahead of the Mariners, catch the Rangers, and which two or do all three make the playoffs? 713-780-3776. You can call us. You can text us. You can hit us up on Twitch as well as we're communicating throughout the show. It's more of the Paul Gallant experience, otherwise known as Today and Tomorrow, The Usual Suspects. Once again, we love you, Nick. Back with more ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, 30 in the books and an hour and a half to go in the big show as we continue to roll on. Just pulling them all out.
Get them all in,
back,
man.
In the day. Let's wait till we get to the rear view and the windshield.
I can't wait.
And those are coming as well. You guys, we appreciate y'all coming back. Tons of numbers on the Twitch chat, which we love. I mean, after all, in this time slot, it is the most interactive talk show.
Is that what he says it is?
He says.
Is that his thing?
That is what the branding is.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. That's only been, never mind.
Easy. Now, Sean Mapes, we were talking about this before we took a call and got deeper into our dive on the Astros last year to this year and where they sit currently. And we were talking on one of my hot buttons. I have been a big proponent of Yainer Diaz being in the lineup every single day. And Jeremy, rightfully so, pushed back early on and was talking about the fact that, look, against lefties, it's a different story than against righties. But he should be, you know, you should be finding ways. And obviously, there's a big contingent of Astros fans that believe he should be the starting catcher. But Jeremy's come over to the dark side with me more and more every day because of the fact that it doesn't matter. The guy has pop in his bat, and when he puts bat to baseball, good things happen. It seems like he should be in the lineup every day. Well, before yesterday's game, Brian McTaggart tweeted this out. No, it wasn't a fake site. No one got. Sean's got the exact quote. But Dusty went all in on not being all in on Yiner.
Yes. He said, quote, "Everyone wants him to play every day, but it's tough. It's much like a young quarterback. How many young quarterbacks come in and take over right away? The way we've handled it, the way I've handled it, he'll thank me. The city will thank me. The organization will thank me later."
Wow. Well, you know what I love about Dusty is he's so humble. He's so, like, what's this like? Where did that come from? That's not the Dusty
This is not
I know.
Pawpaw. Pawpaw does what he wants, but he doesn't ever have to, like,
thump his chest.
Yeah.
And be like, don't worry, I just saved Houston and Astros baseball.
And all of a sudden this. Yeah. And I mean, yesterday Jeremy was literally looking for it going, did I get God again? Did I read this? And was this...
That,
you know,
doesn't sound like Dusty at all.
It just doesn't sound like him. But again, kind of like earlier this year when he got a little annoyed that Chandler Rome was constantly talking about, and rightfully so, the fact that he didn't like, and maybe because of it, didn't play Chaz the way he was supposed to every day. Now we're doing this with Yiner, and now he has a different approach. Your thoughts on the fact that I don't think he needed to say this, and this is coming from when Yiner put the emoji with the hand in the air the other day, like, hi, I'm here because I'm being overlooked and it's against a righty and I'm really good against righties. And then due to Yordan's itchy trigger finger and whatever the hell happened there.
How do you do that, by the way?
That's a different story.
Have you guys ever slammed your own hand in a door?
Didn't you do it trying to get your cup off the roof of your car?
Okay. Now, you see, some things.
Just ask the question.
No, I threw my back out, reaching for my big fingers. Gulp on top of my car.
Next thing you know, you're going to be working out with Correa at the house. There'll be more injuries to come.
I've never understood, like, how do you slam your own hand in the door?
Was it a car door?
This is a guy who can turn on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. So his quick twitch reaction, when you can't get your hand out of the way of a door?
I don't know if he has kids or pets, but maybe that was involved where his kid slams it on his hand.
But that's not the report. He slammed his hand. There's no kid slammed.
The active car voice
door
really
what?
Hurts.
Yeah. House door? Cabinet door? I don't know
it
what kind
matter.
Of door. But like, but nonetheless, like, we have all these rule number five, the Yordan rules,
yes.
Like things to protect him so he does from himself.
No
Who
more doors.
Who the hell thought we had to protect him from doors?
No
have
more
to use
doors.
Sliding doors.
Yes. Astros are at his house right now taking down all the doors like he's a high school kid that won't leave it open when he's got friends over. Like, this is it. No more doors at the house. He's got now his car is no doors. They just get him a Jeep with the soft doors. They take those off. Can't do this. Can't be trusted around doors.
So, as the story went the other day, when Yordan got hurt in a very
cold times.
As we are very puzzled by that, Yiner basically left out of the lineup initially, was then put back in the lineup. And I don't want to say that Dusty might be losing it a little bit, especially after this quote. But Dusty then went on to say, before he made the decision to not play Yiner in a day he should be playing, to say, you know what, the kid doesn't need to be at first base every day either. You know, he's learning on the fly, and he went off to say some things like that. The minute that Yordan got hurt, it's logical you're just going to put Yiner in the lineup, and you can make up for one of the wrongs that you made for yourself. But not only does he put him in the lineup, he puts him at first base and moves Singleton to DH. Like, you just said you don't want to see him at first base every day. Now you're putting him back and putting him at first base and taking a true first baseman and putting him at DH?
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
Dusty's going to Dusty.
Which, by the way,
I think it's super ironic that you would have Singleton as the designated hitter.
That's what I'm saying.
He's the designated misser, at least.
That's another situation gotta, all itself with you.
But
he did have two doubles the other night.
Oh, that's great. Super. That got his average up to 130 something.
Now you're counting. He had a bad stint with Milwaukee early in the year.
No, it's not. He's had a bad stint with the Astros. If your on base percent is higher than your slugging, it's not going real well. And it was that way until he hit those doubles. That's not good. I digress. I'll eat up the whole show complaining
about
Chuck
Singleton. Couple of your favorite things. I mean, he had a double dong game.
Don't.
And then he had a double deuce game with two doubles.
Don't.
I mean, first a lot of all, things coming in twos.
The double dong gang was not my favorite.
Okay.
Was that the three-way? I mean, triple? I refuse. I'm pleading the fifth here.
I'm just saying, Dusty, regular season Dusty, and thankfully playoff Dusty's different. And look, Dusty did one hell of a job last year, and in the playoffs, he didn't do what I asked him not to do, which is the same stuff he did in the regular season. He guided him to victory.
Yeah. Now, it's amazing that everybody thinks he forgot, though, how to manage in 1 year. And again, to me, most of this comes down to the lack of talent that he had last year. Because great talent will make you look like a great manager, and the lack of great talent will make you look like a bad manager, and I think that's the difference between the 2 years. He didn't forget how to manage in 1 year. The man's been doing it. I mean, he was there when they invented baseball.
Yep.
So he's been doing it for a long time. He threw out the first pitch at, like, literally the very first pitch ever. That was Dusty. He threw it, and he actually caught it himself, too. A lot of people don't know that. It's like when you used to play football in the yard by yourself, you'd throw it up and run and catch it. Same thing. I digress.
Well, is that why he got the name? Because he's so old that he's actually Dusty?
That's correct.
Because I think Polillo actually covered that game when he threw it the first pitch. I think John McClain was there. But,
yeah. I can't believe there's no AC. John, it hasn't been invented yet. Anyways, my thing with Yiner Diaz and Maldi and the things that Dusty's saying and how he's handled it, it comes down to one thing. Dusty is not managing the players on the field necessarily. He's managing the egos in the clubhouse, and he's managing the chemistry in the clubhouse. If he just benches Maldonado, even though the numbers say he should, everything else, that Yiner Diaz is a better defensive catcher than Maldi is right now this year. Was he last year? No. But statistically, his catcher ERA, his pop time, his runs saved, his pass balls, all of that is better than Maldonado. What Maldonado still clings to, and Dusty still clings to, is how he handles the pitching staff, number one. And I'm sorry, but for your argument, you need look no further than what Maldonado did the other day by calling the team meeting and yelling at everybody. And that's the one thing that he brings to this team. They all respect him. So if you just poo-poo on Maldonado to bring in the young Diaz to take over, you're going to lose a lot of guys in that clubhouse. And that, to me, is what Dusty is managing right now. Yeah. And the reason why he says he's saving Diaz and doing him a favor, that's an easy way to say.
But I don't think so, because I think that you're guaranteed two starts a week for Maldi. Because Verlander and Fromber won't throw to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do that anyway, right? So as long as Yiner's finding a spot in the lineup somewhere to hit, you can have a happy medium, which makes sense on both ends of it. But you're right. Defensively, there's no argument.
No.
But now since the team meeting, Maldi's actually hitting the baseball. The wake-up call that he wanted for all is the one that he took for one.
Yeah.
Like, it's woke him up more than he actually tagged up on a fly ball and got from second to third the other night.
Which was crazy, yeah.
So we can continue to talk about this. Let us know your thoughts. Are they better a year ago than they were this year, than they are this year? Where are they going and what are they doing? Is Dusty doing everything he can? 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us up on Twitch. We're also available on Twitter. He's Sean, that's Barry, I'm Joel. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
A tug of war. 22 nameless men grappling in the mud. They called it pro football.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Well, we had about six different slots in and around this time period, so Paul can have that one. We had many of the other ones over the course of the years, but if you missed it or you're sleeping under a rock, Sean is still here to save the slot.
Yes.
Way to go, Sean.
Good job,
but,
Sean.
But the rock.
But 2:30. Yeah, okay, let's not go that far. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, okay, inconsistency maybe. Not in exactly the Dwayne Johnson look.
No, no.
Okay, the different rock. But Barry Laminack here with me, Joel Blank, resurrecting two-thirds of the usual suspects, having some fun the next 2 days. Paulie is actually with the Killer Bees, with Joe and Jeremy in Las Vegas at the Circa. They're going to be doing the slot from 3 to 6 the next 2 days, so make sure you don't miss that. But in the meantime, we're going to take it home here by staying at home and doing this and resurrecting some old memories and some good times talking about Houston sports.
So Paul's doing noon to 3?
Paul's doing 3 to 6 with Jeremy and Joe.
Who's doing noon to 3? I missed that.
Sean, that's
1 hour of Dell live, and then a best of the bench, and then a best of this show, guys. So no pressure, but I'll have to discern what the best.
And Sean is the guy putting
this
together.
Show that
this
we're doing
show
today?
That we're doing right now. Probably not this segment, to be honest. Or there's still time to recover. But
wait, what are you talking about? This is golden right
it'd
now.
It'd be very meta.
Me?
I think it'd be way too meta for me to be talking about the best of show while then the best of show is airing.
No,
at
that
two,
would be genius.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Okay.
Well, let's try it again, Paul. I mean, Sean, we'll start right from here. Hey, so anyway, we were talking. You can edit right
here. Well,
I'll mark in right 5, 4, 3, 2.
Mark. Back to the show where we were talking about the Astros. And Barry, you brought up whether they were a better team a year ago or now. And I think the easy comparison or where you would give advantage to last year would obviously be the starting pitching and between the injuries and the lack of the same kind of performance. That's what we're dealing with the starting pitching. I think offensively that there is still a chance, because let's not forget, part of the reason why the bottom of the lineup a year ago was struggling was Yuli was awful in the regular season. So Yuli was awful. Maldi was awful. You were struggling with whoever was trying to play center field as also being part of that 7, 8, 9 in the rotation. In the batting order. But now you're talking about a lineup because of the emergence of both Chaz and Yiner, where if Chaz is your starting center fielder, and if Sprinkles and Icing ends up playing left field or DH, and Yordan's doing the other, and Yiner's behind the plate. Obviously, it's not going to be a Verlander start or a Fromber start, but there is a chance with that death lineup offensively and still not losing much defensively where that could be a better ball club, I think, except for the starting pitching.
I don't know. You know what? You're right from a center field perspective.
Jake scares me every time he takes. I know he has his moments, but miss me on the whole. Jake is, he's now he's not only not your center fielder of the future.
He's just Jake.
I don't think you should
2.0.
I don't think you should be your center fielder for right now.
I would agree. He's Jake Mariznick 2.0. He's a fantastic backup. I would have said he's a great defensive replacement, but the other night, jeez, you got to catch that ball. He had a couple of miscues in the outfield and overran a ball.
Well, not only that, when he starts to make his throwing motion on a Tuesday, on Wednesday, the ball's getting to the infield. Like, I guess it was the injury, but somehow, some way, the guy forgot how to throw and his arm forgot how to, execute it.
I think ultimately, if Chaz is your center fielder, you're okay. I just worry that Chaz he's on a great hot streak. But at some point, he's going to kind of come back down to earth a little bit. We always just talk about on the show, he's going to regress to his mean. He hasn't done it yet. And fingers crossed, because that's found money with Chaz. That is just straight up found money.
Yep.
And he could be your center fielder of the future. And you're right. I do like going into the playoffs. If you're outfield, if you figured this out and you're able to do it where Yordan plays left, Chaz and Kyle, and then you DH Diaz. That's not bad. I don't hate that lineup from 1 through 9. That's not bad.
And then Sprinkles and Icing becomes your insurance policy on the bench.
Yeah.
You got a great bat on the bench as a pinch hitter.
Because I don't know that you start Uncle Mike that
I think the other thing is, Espada's going to get a lot of reps for him at first base, but he's not a first baseman. He's a guy that, you know, and we had Todd Callis on last week. He flat out said he's one of the best hitters that we've seen in the American League over the last, decade.
Sure.
If he could be anything like that again, he was adamant that you're going to find a spot for him in the lineup. I'm not so sure you are because of, or you can, because of Yiner's limitations defensively if he's not catching. And because we know he's not going to catch in two of those five starters or four starters in the playoffs. And then because Yordan's either going to do the same, he's going to play left or he's going to DH. Mm-hmm. One of those three guys ends up sitting unless he's behind the dish. And that's a problem offensively when you might have to win games by outscoring teams.
Yeah, you're right, because it kind of harkens back to what we were talking about earlier in that, you know, if Dusty's trying to manage egos and expectations and keep the chemistry in the clubhouse, not playing Uncle Mike might be a problem. That's a scary thing to think about.
Pawpaw's belly and his loyalties are with veterans. And you know that even though he hasn't done anything for you all year long, he might not care. He might not care what you think or Chandler Rome thinks or anybody else thinks or going to write or ask questions about. He may just say, you know what? Tough. I'm going to play sprinkles and icing.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
And this is the playoffs now. Lose and go home. Not lose a series or get beat in Oakland or Baltimore. No, lose and go home. Yeah. If you where I don't think you can take the same kind of risks with your pawpaw's belly.
I agree with you, and it's scary. And by the way, I just wanted to say this, kind of going back to what we were talking about last segment also with Yordan. I think the first game back, if it's at Minute Maid, you got to play the Doors for his walk-up song first time. Oh, right?
Wow.
You just, no?
Wow.
Is that... No.
Too soon.
How many people do you think would catch on? I'm sure some guys in the dugout would catch on. I would just, play a little Doors. Just once, not every time. Just first time and back.
Can I just say that, to answer that question, I will just say that I don't think many people would catch on simply because the first day in our new time slot, there was a certain theme to every bit of bump music that we played, and no one got it.
True.
So, I'm not saying that they're not sharp on everything. I'm just saying sometimes in the not the sharpest pencil in the drawer, there were a lot of soup spoons when we were doing 3-6 the first day.
Okay.
But, I think Yordan is obviously the guy that you can't live without.
Yeah.
Cal Tucker has shown that he's also right there with him. And that's why I think you may have to outscore every team you play this year as opposed to in years past when you did it with pitching and the no-hitters in the World Series and – the combined no-hitters and the way that everybody stepped up. I think different year, different scenario, right? You don't have a 10-game lead in the division. So you're done screwing around giving guys days off when they don't need it. And when they're red hot or hit a home run, that's Dusty's cue to sit them down. You got to put a death lineup out there offensively every night. And you've got to stay in front of Seattle. You've got to catch Texas. And in order to do that, you've got to put your best foot forward, both offensively, defensively, and pitching. And I don't think Dusty's been doing that to this point.
There was an article that came out in The Athletic that said if the season ended Monday, so we're a couple days behind here, and we could go back and redo it, but the Astros would have to play the Rays in the wild card.
I'm fine with that right now, though.
You feel good about that?
You know why? Because Franco's probably not going to be back.
Franco's gone.
Tommy John's, so he's out. And he was a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah.
So the fact, and then their first, is it Wandy or Yandy? What? But their first
Wander
base.
Wander Franco.
No, Yandy. Yeah. He's out a month, I think, with something with his elbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not exactly peaked. They peaked too early. They're dealing with a lot of injuries.
They peaked the first month of the season.
They're dinged up when they were like 17-2. You think that you got a really good shot to beat them, even if you home field or not. You can beat them. If you face the Twins, you can beat them. But in order to beat the teams in your division that you're going to see later on, because even though Baltimore's had another really – they haven't been to the playoffs before. And so it's a different story.
It's a young team, yeah.
But when you talk about experience like Texas has, when you look at Seager and you look at Simeon and you look at their pitching staff and what they did at the deadline, when you talk about a Seattle team that you just absolutely deflated and sent home, and what I said was the closest sweep in the history of baseball playoffs because of – how good those games were and how they were won. Those are two teams you need to be at full strength to beat.
Yeah. And that's the thing that scares me. And that's, I was talking about this yesterday. If I'm the Astros, it is imperative that they win this division because there's some matchups in the wild card round that you don't want. No. I mean, if you flip-flop the Astros and the Mariners right now, the Astros would have to play the Twins, and you'd feel good about that,
yeah,
right?
I
just
would.
Same way you'd feel good about facing the Rays. But the problem becomes, if you're a wild card team, you lose being able to set up your pitching matchups the exact way you want them. Even though they baked in some time in between, that doesn't matter. It really puts you at a disadvantage going into the ALDS, whether you're facing the Orioles or the Rangers.
Well, and let's not completely rule out the fact that Toronto's a team that has a lot of veterans, and they've got a very potent offensive lineup. If they would happen to get in, now you're talking about a team that has no fear of you or any situation because of the money they've spent in the roster that they have, too. So there's a team that could be playing with house money. Get in. Hey, no one expected us to get in. We got nothing to lose. We're coming out fancy and free, and we're going to bring it to you.
And that's why I said the Astros have it's a real possibility that they don't make the playoffs. And somebody said, look at their strength of schedule. And I agree. They have one of the easiest three or five
Toronto?
Strength of schedules left.
Toronto does?
No, the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros.
So I'm saying, but the fact that Toronto has the same percentage, essentially, their one percentage point difference of making the playoffs that the Mariners do, and we're all convinced the Mariners are going to make it. It's not a slam dunk that the Astros do. And so, for me, it's division or bust, because it would be a nightmare for this team to end up a wild card because of exactly what we just talked about, with the fact that rotation isn't the same. So if you have to go Verlander in the wild card round, how good do you feel going into the division round, even if you win that game?
Right. I mean, there's a lot to question with this team that you haven't had to question in the past. All right, that's the first hour of the show. We've got an hour still to go, so plenty more to get to. If you guys want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can text, you can call, you can hit us on Twitch or Twitter. By the way, we'll talk other things than just Astros baseball. We know it's the hot topic in the city right now. He's Sean Mapes, Barry Laminack, myself, Joe Blank, back with hour number two in just a few minutes. Stay with us, won't you? ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Got him.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.